Okay, Rabosai, thanks for coming. The parsha that we read yesterday, Parsha Vayelech, you may have noticed, I'm sure you did, is a very short parsha. But yet, I think we can somehow squeeze something out of it for our purposes, what messages we can learn from this parsha. So we'll start with the pasuk in Dvarim, Lamed Aleph, pasuk Aleph, which is the beginning of Parshas Vayelech. And it says Vayelech Moshe. Of course, all the Mepharshim point out that there's nothing here about where Moshe went to. It just says he went, but you know, like, where did he go? What was his destination? So the Ramban, at the beginning of Parshas Vayelech, points out that Moshe Rabbeinu was located in what's called the Machne Shechina, and he went from the Machne Shechina all the way to the Machne Yisrael, and the question is why he did so. Now keep in mind, this is the most important point that we have to make, this is the very last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. So imagine on the last day of your life, you know, you might have a lot of things to take care of, you might be a little bit nervous, but Moshe Rabbeinu is busy trying to find Klal Yisrael. And the Ramban says the following. If you have this page, it should look like this on one side, and if you flip it to the other side, that's this side. This is the second side of the page. That's what we want to look at. And you'll see that on line number 2, we have a quote from the Ramban. And the Ramban says the following. Yes, please. I made tres, but I don't know. Unos dos tres. But where's tres? I don't know.
No.
Okay. Hashomer achi anochi. So Ramban says, Vayomer akosuv ato, the Torah wants to tell us at this moment, the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, Ki Moshe halach mi machne levi al machne Yisrael lechabdom. And the Ramban adds one important word here, lechabdom. Lechabdom means in order to honor the Jewish people. And how beautiful is this idea of honor, giving honor to another Jew, and in this case to all of Klal Yisrael. And the Ramban says, Kimishi yirtza lipater michadvero ubo lito rishus mimeno. A person is in the company of others and he wants to leave. He's on his way. And he has to ask Rishus from the others to let him go. Interesting. We'll talk about this in a minute. The Ramban, as you well know, wrote a very famous Igeres to his son. Yeah, and you'll see it published in a lot of the Sidurim. I think we have it in our Sidur. And there, he leaves a legacy for his son. And in that legacy, he emphasizes the idea of kavod, of giving respect to others. And here's the quote from the Ramban. This is a very consistent, the Ramban is very consistent. He says, V'chol adam yeh gadol mimcha beinecha. You should look at every other person as if he's greater than you. Now that's very fascinating because I look around and I see people who, they don't look so much greater than me, but yet the Ramban says that that has to be my attitude. I may not have the proper measuring stick, you know, to a measuring rod to evaluate who's greater than whom. And I always have to have the attitude that someone that I have interaction with is greater than me. And look how the Ramban embellishes. He says, Im chacham o ashir hu. You know, you may find that he has chachma, he has wisdom, maybe he has wealth. Whatever he has certain attributes. Olecha lechabdo, and therefore you have to give him respect. V'im rashu, and if he's poor, v'atashir, but you're the rich guy. O chacham imenu, or maybe you're smarter than him. So you have both intelligence and possessions. Nevertheless, chashov belibcha, you should think in your heart, that in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam, your situation is that you're chayav, meaning in the scales of the heavenly courts, the scales are tipped against you, whereas he has the scales tipped in his favor. Sheim hu chote, and if you see that he's a sinner, hu shogeg, you should give him the benefit of the doubt. And what should you do about yourself? Should a person give himself the benefit of the doubt? Says the Ramban, V'ata mezid. And you should judge yourself as being guilty. Now, if my attitude towards others is that he is greater than I am, what does that lead to? What attribute? Obviously, it expresses itself in kavod, but what is the root attribute that would lead a person to this attitude that yenem, that somebody else is greater than him. What's that called? Exactly. And in Latin, and the Lashon Kodesh, Joel?
Another.
Now,
in the extreme, it's inferiority complex.
Oh, so let's see, where's the Ramban coming from? This extreme sense of anava, did the Ramban just invent it? And that's what we want to study. The Ramban continues in the same Igeres that he writes to his son, and he speaks about the strength, the significance of the midah of anava, and he writes, "Hi midah tova mikol amidas hatovos." This is the greatest attribute of all the attributes that a person can have. Ekev hanova yiras Hashem, and a person who has this midah of humility, he's a yorei Hashem. Now, what we want to do is see if we can find another place in which the Ramban expresses this idea, and perhaps to answer Shalom's question, where's the Ramban coming from? I mean, this extreme sense of anova. And here, the Ramban is at the beginning of Shmos. This is the first encounter between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where does it take place? Who remembers? At the Sneh, correct. At the burning bush, as we call it. Vayomer. And here's Hashem appearing to Moshe to appoint him as what? What great shlichus is Moshe Rabbeinu now receiving from Hashem? Right, to be the Goel Shel Yisrael. And what is Moshe Rabbeinu's response? Yeah, now keep in mind that for 7 days he's arguing back and forth with the Almighty. I'm not the guy for the job. And it's on the seventh day, the last day, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally listens to Moshe Rabbeinu without, you know, counter-arguing in a very harsh way. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say to Hashem on the last day? Vayomer, Moshe says, Bi Adoni, Shlachna biyad tishlach. Send someone else. Now Chazal say that someone else was who? Aaron HaKohen, his older brother. But look at how the Ramban interprets this. And these words of the Ramban have to be bolded. We should probably printed and laminated, you know, for our next advertisement for Lone Soldiers or whatever, event that we're sponsoring, because these are unbelievable words. He says, "Va'nochon bi'enai," what it seems to me to be correct, "Shlachna bi'ad kol asher tishlach." Any Jew that you find, Hashem, is more appropriate than I am. Again, who's talking here? Moshe Rabbeinu is called the Gadol Shebenevim. This is Moshe Rabbeinu about whom the Rambam writes, there was never ever a person who reached perfection like Moshe Rabbeinu. He is the closest proximity to human in the human sphere to perfection. And the Ramban writes that even when Moshe Rabbeinu received the revelation at the Sneh, which is relatively early in his career, he was already the Gadol Shebenevim. Ki, and again, look at the words of Moshe Rabbeinu according to the Ramban. Ki ein adam ba'olam. There's not one single person shelo yehagun yosef himeni l'shlichus who wouldn't be better, superior to me in shlichus.
Include that Jew that he had to kill. Or the Jews that were fighting with each other?
I don't know.
I mean, that's...
The Ramban says...
He's been around. He's seen,
yeah.
He's seen
but again, this is a whole new concept of anova. This is, you know, you can argue with Berzon, but you can't argue with the Ramban. I mean, you can disagree with the Ramban, but you have to really sweat it out to understand the Ramban. The Ramban is the Gadol Shebarishonim. And in Chumash, he's probably number two to Rashi. Maybe he's even number one to Rashi. I don't know. Vasibo l'moshe. Wait, let's just read the Ramban. Again, Rav Osef, you have to train yourself to listen. You know, it's good to speak, and that's great, but when it comes to the Ramban, you have to let it sink in. The Ramban says, Vasibo l'moshe b'chol ha-sarvanut hazot. What caused Moshe Rabbeinu to refuse to argue with Hashem for a full week? And venuso ha-gdolo mikol adam. He is the paradigm of humility. There's no one who achieves and personifies humility like Moshe Rabbeinu. Asher al pnei hadama, on the entire face of the globe. So Rabbosai, take a look at what's going on here. We're weaving together. This is what I like to do. It's called one of the 39 malachas on Shabbos. It's malachas tviya. Tviya means to weave together. We're weaving together three different comments of the Ramban in three different places. One is the Ramban describing Moshe Rabbeinu on the last day of his life. That's the Ramban here in Parshas Vayelech. Number two is the Ramban in his Igeres, his legacy to his son. And number three is the Ramban on the Sneh, describing Moshe Rabbeinu's response and his sarvanut, his absolute adamant refusal to accept the job. The underlying theme in all these three Rambans is the super duper significance, the supreme significance of Hanava, the extreme Hanava that was achieved by whom, according to the Ramban? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the personification of Anova. When the Ramban thinks at the end of his life to write a letter to his son, hoping that his son will read this letter on a daily basis with a message for his life, he tells him that of all the great midos that we have, there's chesed, and there's ahava, and there's justice, and emes, he could give a whole long list of all the great attributes that man should have. The greatest of all the attributes, says the Ramban, is what? Is Anova. And there's nothing like it, says the Ramban. And not only that, Moshe Rabbeinu on the very last day of his life is going to make this super supreme effort to come to Bnei Yisrael. That's the Vayelech. That's the significance of the word Vayelech. And why? Why is this so great, says the Ramban? The last action of Moshe Rabbeinu before he departs in this world, lechabdom, to give kavod to Bnei Yisrael. And therefore the Ramban says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was refusing time and time again for a full week to accept the shlichus, this was the reflection of Moshe Rabbeinu's anova to such an extent that Moshe Rabbeinu declares, there's no one who is not a better candidate than I am. It's an unbelievable statement. And therefore, if you take a look at the Sam Derech, this was the Rashiva of Chevron Yeshiva, Rav Breuder, he has a very fascinating insight to our Ramban in Parshas Vayelech. Let's go back to the Ramban again. The Ramban says, Lechavdom, Moshe Rabbeinu goes out to the Jewish people to give them honor and dignity, respect. And then the Ramban adds, Kimishi Yirtzel Lehipater Mechavero. We're in company together, and now I want to pack out. Oh no. Says the Ramban, you don't leave, you don't depart from your chabura. I don't know if you know this, Rabbosai. Tell me if this is familiar to you. In the yeshiva world, perhaps the most important word or the most common word amongst the yeshiva guys is called the chabura. And it means two things. And both are true. The chabura means the group of chevra, more or less in the same age bracket, that are studying Torah together. And the chabura is also the lecture that is given either by the Rebbe, the Rosh Shiva, perhaps by the Mashkiach in the yeshiva. That's called a chabura. Now, what's the root of the word chabura? Chaver. The Mishnah in Avos, when it lists the great attributes that man should try to accept for himself, it calls him a chaver tov, a good chaver. A good chaver means someone who's part of a chabura. Part of a chabura means a sense of responsibility, a sense of sensitivity for caring for someone else. I care for you. I know what your needs are. I know what your desires are. I try to see if I can help you fulfill those needs. And then comes the day when one of the members of the chabura wants to move on. Says the Ramban, he doesn't just pack his bags and move on. He has to do what first? Look at the Ramban's language. Harotza lipote me chavero, if he's a real, true, genuine chaver, ba litol reshus mi menu. It's an unbelievable concept. He has to get permission to go. And the Somderech points out that this is a sugya mesecht and brachas. The Gemara says that the Bnei Eretz Yisrael used to come to learn in Bavel. And when came the day that the Bnei Eretz Yisrael had to return to Bavel, the Bnei Achabura used to escort them. Back to Eretz Yisrael. They used to escort them. According to one opinion, they used to escort them all the way to Akko. That's one opinion. Others say 4 hours was enough. It's a whole sugya. It's in Sota. It's in Brachas. Now, Akko, it's very interesting because Akko was on the northern border at that time of Eretz Yisrael, and there were two halves to the city of Akko. One half was towards Eretz Yisrael, the other was towards Chutz Laretz. And the Bnei Eretz Yisrael didn't want to leave to Chutz Laretz, so what they did is they went to Akko, and they took them all the way to the boundary before the second half that leads to Chutz Laretz. And what did they do? So Rashi and Masechta Brachos, I don't know, Rabbi, did you get to Yud Zayin yet? Oh, so Rashi and Masechta Brachos on Daf Yud Zayin says, Miftarei Rabbanon, when the Rabbanon said goodbye, Zeh Mizeh, imagine, mom sends me a telegram. Time to come home. It's Beit HaZmanim. Oh no, I can't just pack my bags. Kibud Eim is a great mitzvah. But first, Rashi says, I have to be notel rishus. I have to ask my chabura. Because when I leave the chabura, the entire chabura suffers. The Gemara says, Nebuch, if a member of the chabura dies, then all the other members of the chabura have to sit shiva. They're in avelus. Again, whether that's to be taken literally or figuratively, I don't know. But that's the concept here of being a chaver tov. To be part of a chabura is not just a matter of luxury. It's not just a matter of, you know, I volunteer to be a member of the chabura. There's no such thing as volunteer. You can volunteer for many things in life. But when it comes to being part of a chabura, that is a commitment. That's what we call in the language of the halacha a shibud aguf. You cannot just relieve yourself of that commitment. Understand what the nature of your responsibility is. And all this, my friends, comes from the word vayelech in the Ramban's frame of reference. Let's go on. There's much more to this parasha than just the word vayelech. The pasuk says the following. Vayelech Moshe vayedaber sadvar meilkol bnei Yisrael vayom aleim ben mea v'esrim shana anochi ayom lo uchal od lo tseis v'lavo v'ashem amar ilai lo savores hayarden hazeh. Rashi makes an unbelievable comment. This is based on a Gemara in Masechta Sota, and Rashi says lo uchal lo tseis v'lavo, says Rashi, b'divrei Torah. Rashi maintains, and he's totally committed to this position, that Moshe Rabbeinu, despite the fact that he was 120 years old, he was no spring chicken by our standards, yet lo chas lecho, he was just as powerful in his physical self as he was. He could be a lone soldier. Okay? But yet, so what does the pasuk mean then? Lo uchal? What does lo uchal mean? What do you mean lo uchal? Lo uchal, you can't do it? Moshe Rabbeinu is the epitome of physical power? The answer is that Lotzeis V'lovo is a symbolic message, says Rashi, to Divrei Torah. And here Rashi goes on. Again, it's a Gemara in Sota. Melame, this teaches us, Shenistimu Mimenu Misoros Umayonos Chachma. Keep in mind, Moshe Rabbeinu was in charge of the Misoros HaTorah. Everything that we have starts with the tradition of Moshe, who transmits the Torah to Yoshua from Yeshua's Canaan, etc., etc. Now, Nistemu Mayonos Umisoros HaTorah. The water supply, what do we call it, the spring, the well, is closed. The valve is turned. Now, you and I may not make such a big deal about this, because after all, Moshe Rabbeinu is already on the last day of his life, so why should we make such a big deal about this? Says the Sifsei Chachamim on this Rashi. You've all heard of the Sifsei Chachamim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did anybody know where he lived? He lived in Germany, and he was a great musician. He wrote many musical poems. He was a composer.
Where did he live?
He lived in Germany about 200 years ago, 150 years ago, not long ago. And he is one of the super commentaries on Rashi. It's amazing to me how popular the Sifsei Chachamim is, because there was so much literature that came before him. For example, the Taz, that here at our base mentioned, we study Yom of Elilah, the Taz, wrote an entire work to expand and embellish the commentary of Rashi al Torah. It's called the Divrei David. Who looks at the Divrei David today? A couple of scholars here and there. Go into a bookstore and ask for a copy of the Divrei David. He'll probably give you some safe from a Rosh Hashiva or somewhere who's alive today. And then you'll tell him, I'm talking about the Taz who lived 4 centuries. Oh, the Taz, yeah, he wrote a safe on Rashi where it's out of print for hundreds of years. But the Sifsei Chacham, it really, he cornered the market. And he writes the following, Vatam? Why was it so critical? And the Torah goes out of its way to tell us that these Mayanos of Torah and Mesorah were closed. Kidei Shelo Yitztayer. So that Moshe Rabbeinu should not suffer anguish. Shenotla hagdula mimenu v'nitna le'oshua. Rabosai, if I would tell you this about a rank and file citizen, you would understand it very well. How depressing is it to be stripped of one's position in life, the transmitter of Torah? Now it's being handed over to Yeshua, but now we're not talking about a rank and file citizen. We're talking about none other than Moshe Rabbeinu. This is what we call Keim Chayenu V'Yorch Yemenu. If a person is not achieving in Torah study, then life is meaningless. When the Talmidim found Rabbi Akiva during the Roman decrees that was teaching Torah, he said, I'm like a fish out of water if I don't teach Torah. What's it worth? To live under the Roman decree and not teach Torah? That's meaningless. That's not life. And so too, Moshe Rabbeinu was ready to die now. There was no sense of anguish because he no longer had the ability to transmit the Torah. But I think that the one who really, really expands and embellishes on this is the Ramban as usual. Not the Ramban here in Vayelech, but the Ramban in Parshas Achrimos, back in Sefer Vayikra. The Ramban asks the question, how does Moshe Rabbeinu say the words Ani Hashem Elokeichem or other similar phrases that appear throughout the Torah? How could I say in first person, I am your God? Says the Ramban, Ki Rucho Yedaber Bo, the Ruach of Hashem speaks through the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu. Umiloso, and the very whispering, the enunciations of God's words, Al Lishono, are on the lips of Moshe Rabbeinu. Is lo yedaver mi'atzmo. He's not speaking from himself. It's Hashem. This is the famous phrase, if you're familiar in the Zohar. Anybody know what phrase I have in mind? I'm sure you've all heard it. It's called Shechina midaberes mitoch grono shel Moshe. The Shechina itself speaks through the vocal cords of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu represents Kaviyochel himself, and therefore he can say the words Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And I want to quote to you the words of the Nefesh HaChaim. Does anybody know which Rosh Hashiva wrote the famous classical work, the Nefesh HaChaim? Exactly, Rav Chaim Volozhiner. It's a very difficult sefer. But he writes about Moshe Rabbeinu, ki hisbatel bi'enei atzmo mimetzius klal. Moshe Rabbeinu in his own eyes saw himself as if he was non-existent. He completely negated his own mitzius. V'rak Shechina levad midaberes. Moshe Rabbeinu is not a barrier to the Shechina. It's the Shechina itself that's speaking. Lachein Omar, and therefore he could say, V'nasati mitar atzachem, I gave you the matar, you know, the reins. Because Shechina midaberes mitoch grono shel Moshe, and that's what the pasuk means when it says, Peh el peh adaber bo. Adaber bo means betocho mamish. So Moshe Rabbeinu's very essence is Shechina medaberes mitoch grono. He is the Moser HaTorah. He will transmit the Torah to Klal Yisrael. That's Panim El Panim Dibur Hashem Imochem. And therefore, this is an unbelievable thing. If you take a look at the Ramban, which is the fourth source on your page, here in Parshas Vayelech, he quotes the same Gemara and Sota that Rashi quotes, that the Mayonos of Moshe Rabbeinu, his Mayonos of Chochmah, were closed down, but he adds, V'hoya ze b'masa nes. This was an absolute miracle. What does that mean, a miracle? This was a change in Teva. The very essence, the very nature of Moshe Rabbeinu is such that he is the source, the spring of Mayonos Chochmah. And yet this was closed. Why did Hashem do such a thing? And here the Ramban adds something that Rashi did not say. The Ramban says, Shelo yidog loseis gedula liyoshua befanav. Now, you have the word in your text, lo yidog. Do you see that word? Lo yidog. That's in the singular form. And that's how it appears in the Bar Ilan from which I took this from. But the correct nuscha in the manuscript Ramban's is lo yidagu in the plural. And the difference is that's a reference to Klal Yisrael. Exactly. Klal Yisrael would have been very hesitant to pass on the mantle of leadership to Yoshua in the presence of Moshe during his lifetime. And therefore, in order to calm down Klal Yisrael, it was necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to intervene with a miracle, a supernatural change of the order of universe. Namely, Moshe's very essence is Shechina Medaberes Mitokrono. He represents the Mayonos of Chachma, of Mesiris HaTorah. And Hashem steps in and changes the nature of Moshe Rabbeinu, closes up the Mayonos HaChachma. And why? So that the people of Israel would be calm. They wouldn't be in a state of tension, of angst, what we call, in order to appoint Yoshua in the presence of Moshe as the Moser HaTorah, the transmitter of Torah.
What was the reason when they went to the
Vayonis of Chochmah. Speak a drop loud, Joel.
What did it mean they saw, or what did they experience?
It meant that Moshe Rabbeinu was no longer teaching Torah. He abruptly terminated his transmission of Torah. And at that point, Moshe Rabbeinu made a statement, which is here at the beginning of Parashas Vayelech, Ben Mea Ve'asrim Shana, Anochi Hayom, Lo Uchal Od Latzeis Ve'lavo, and you have to add another word, B'Torah, B'divrei Torah. He himself proclaimed, I can no longer do.
Why did it have to be like that? Why couldn't the Chokhmah of Moshe, that's the Chokhmah of Yoshua? Transmission doesn't have to...
George, don't worry about Yoshua. Yoshua, you're right, is a great source of Torah. Lo Yomush, Sefer Torah Zemipiv. Yoshua is the disciple par excellence. He's got plenty of Chokhmah. We're not worried about Yoshua. We're worried about Klal Yisrael. God is so sensitive to the fact that Klal Yisrael will not have the ability to accept the Torah from Yoshua when Moshe Rabbeinu is alive. For 40 years in the desert, Moshe Rabbeinu is transmitting Torah. He is the source of Torah for them, both at Maimed Har Sinai, the Aseres HaDivros, and throughout the 40 years. That's what they did. They studied Torah in the Moshe. And now all of a sudden, Yoshua is teaching the Torah. They felt that this would be jarring to Moshe Rabbeinu, even as great as he is, but to see this in front of his eyes. And therefore, they were in a state of daga. So the Ramban says that Hashem had to intervene with a miraculous change of nature, a maisa nes, in order shelo yidagu klali. So again, Rabose, are you beginning to see how the Ramban is very consistent? All the different pieces of the puzzle fit together. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the last day of his life, goes out, lichvodom shel Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu make a nes in order that lo yidagu, that the people of Israel should not be upset. This is all a reflection of sensitivity. The Jewish soul is sensitive and has to be refined. I want to show you something else which is unique to the Ramban. You remember, and Rabbi Meyer spoke about it on Friday night, that one of the two mitzvahs that we have in this parasha is the mitzvah of Hakel. And in the mitzvah of Hakel, the Torah says, which you'll see the fourth source on your page, Hakel asam ha-noshim va-noshim va-taf. Now, before we go on, what is the mitzvah of Hakel? If you had to classify it under one of the great mitzvahs that we have, which one would it be?
Learning Torah.
Learning Torah. And yet, Noshim. What are the women doing here? So the Taf, they say, that's in order to educate. That's a process of Chinuch. But why Noshim? They're not obligated to the mitzvah Talmud Torah.
The mitzvah bringing the Taf.
Oh, so Rashi says something similar, not exactly as extreme as you say, Shalom. Rashi says, V'anoshim lishmoa. Just to listen. Men were there for what? Rilmot. To study. The women were there just to listen. Take a look at the Ramban. You know, a lot of people don't know about this Ramban. And in today's context, I think it's very important to publicize this Ramban. The Ramban says, Hanoshim ve-hanoshim. You shouldn't separate the way Rashi did, Anoshim and then Noshim. No, Hanoshim ve-hanoshim. Ki gam heim shomos ve-lomdos. Please underline that word. That not only are the women there to listen to Divrei Torah, they're there to study the Torah. No, but the question is, isn't Rashi right? They don't have a mitzvah to study the Torah. The answer is, says the Ramban, this study of Torah has its own definition, its own unique category. This is what we have ladies' nights here on Monday nights, right? What is that ladies' night all about to bring the women to study Torah? Why did the Chafetz Chaim Zichron Levracha agree? You know, when Shana Sarah, what was her name?
Sarah Schneer
wanted to establish a school for women. You know, that was so radical back in Lithuania. You know, the Beis Yaakov system. The answer is because of this Ramban. Because the Ramban says, Haim Shomos Volomdos Lira Es Hashem. There are Tzvei Dinim, says the Ramban in Talmud Torah. One is Talmud Torah for the sake of understanding God's wisdom as an abstract wisdom, a divine wisdom. It's conceptual. We even study Ben Sora Morish Lo Yevel Univer. But then there's another type of Talmud Torah. It's the Talmud Torah of Yiras Hashem. That's what Hakel is all about. And therefore, says the Ramban, we have to bring the children for Chinuch, and we have to bring the women to study the Torah. But what type of Torah, what category of Torah is it, and what's the ultimate goal? It's the Torah of Yira, and that's what the Ramban says over here. I know we're running out of time, so I just want to conclude with at least one comment of the Medrash here in Parshas Vayelech of the Yalkut Shimoni. And the Medrash wants to know what happened exactly when the pasuk says Vayomer Hashem Moshe Hein Karvu Yamecha Lamus Kra El Yoshua. On the very last day of Moshe's life, Hashem commands Moshe to call in to summon Yoshua. V'siatzu v'ol moed v'atzavenu v'yelech Moshe v'Yoshua v'siatzu v'ol moed. Nothing much is revealed here in the Torah Shebichsav. But the greatness of Midrashim is that they fill in the missing gaps in the storyline. And this is a typical case that I want to call to your attention. Says the Yalkut, Biosa Shah, at that moment, Kasher, Omar Moshe LaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Yitol Moshe, just one second, I lost the place for a second. Yitol Moshe Erchi Shali Veyechai. Do you see it's the next to last source on your page? Will Moshe Rabbeinu be able to pass on to Yoshua Erchi Shali Veyechai? Meaning, this is a very difficult situation. Moshe Rabbeinu is alive, and he himself is calling in Yoshua to receive the mandate and the responsibility as leadership to pass on the Torah, transmit the Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Aseh lo kishev shehaya oseh lecha. Do it to him. He would do it to you, you do it to him. Miad hishkim Moshe v'holach lebeisel shel Yoshua. Moshe Rabbeinu runs to the house of Yoshua. Niklasu lo moed yared amar anan vehifsik beineim u'mishnistalik amurana omer Moshe Yoshua. Ma omer lecha hadibur. The dibur of Hashem communicated directly to Yoshua. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what message Yoshua was receiving. Omer lo kshayim hadover nigla lecha. Yodeo heisi masha yom medabrimach. And wait a second, when God spoke to you, Moshe, did I know what he said to you? You should be absolutely understanding that when Hashem speaks to me, Yoshua says, you're not going to understand, you're not going to get the dibur. Biosa shah. Listen to this again. Only the Medrash of Chazal could say such a thing, could utter such a thing. Hischil Moshe tzavach v'omer. Moshe started crying out. V'omer mea misos. I'd rather die 100 deaths v'lokina achas and not one jealousy. Imagine, this is Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Rambam writes is the only human being that ever lived and ever will live that has achieved close to the shleimus that man is capable of achieving, and yet Moshe Rabbeinu says, I declare I'd rather die 100 deaths than experience one kina. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, ki azek hamoves ava kosher kishol kina, that kina is considered kishaol. It's like the worst gehenna in a person's life. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is ready to die. because now the mayonis of Chachma and Mesorah have been closed, the mantle of leadership and transmission Torah has now been passed on to Yoshua. Now the Dibur comes to Yoshua. Moshe Rabbeinu is not even privy to what Hashem says to Yoshua. What a tragic situation, a moment in his life. And imagine, this is the same Moshe Rabbeinu who just a few Shabbos ago, a few Parshiyos ago, v'eschanan al Hashem, he's praying to Hashem, don't take my life. I so much want to live. I want to enter into the land of Israel. I want to be mekayim in the mitzvah tlius ba'aretz. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'd rather die 100 deaths because now I see that I can no longer play that role. And I want to read to you again, and then we'll conclude with this. Is v'ha'yir etzono kol kach ad she'amuchan levatel akiso lehefach lios talmid she'Yoshua. Imagine, Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu was so eager to go into Eretz Yisrael that Hashem should extend his life, knowing full well that Yoshua would take over the leadership. He would be the Rebbe of Klali, so Moshe Rabbeinu therefore would have to play the role of a Talmud. Imagine the Rebbe now becomes a Talmud, and the Talmud becomes the Rebbe. Moshe Rabbeinu is willing to do so. However, the very moment that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid, he was afraid that he'll be subject to jealousy. Moshe Rabbeinu was such a God-fearing person. Had if he preferred levater al chayov, to give up on his life. V'lo od elalamus mea misos, he would rather suffer 100 deaths. Rakideshalo yikoshel bekina achas, he should not be jealous even one time. Isn't that amazing? Here's Moshe Rabbeinu, who's willing to become a Talmud of Yoshua until he realizes that there's a real serious fear that he, Moshe Rabbeinu, might suffer from kinah. Then he says, I give up. Again, this is the Ramban in his approach to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the un of Mikol Adam. Moshe Rabbeinu, the last thing in his mind is to suffer from jealousy. So as we close, I say Yiratzon, that during these days of tshuva, we should learn from the paradigm of Moshe, who personifies Hanav in the most extreme way. Imagine a person who wants to give cover to Klal Yisrael, wants to appoint his Talmud as the Rebbe, but yet finds it impossible if he thinks he'll suffer from kina, because kina is kosher kisha'ol, and therefore he'd rather die 100 deaths than suffer from kin. Okay, then we'll take a pause. Yeah, are there any questions? Shalom, could you speak a little louder? Because I know you started asking a question, but I didn't hear.
Yeah, I get the picture. I understand. But one of the things that was said that seems to be the extreme,
right,
was that Moshe said anybody's better than me. That goes off the board. I mean, he knows Am Yisrael. He's seen them in Egypt. He's seen them tattling on each other. That guy who tattles on his friend, he's more Ra'ui.
So then, Shaul, maybe...
Isn't there a time when a member stand up and say, if I've been offered this position, I'll take it? To amplify what he's saying?
No, I understand. Is that one of the jobs? Maybe say Aaron's better than him. But I've got the car.
Yes. Isn't he saying, no, okay, I'll take it?
But you have the Ramban right in front of you. Let's read the Ramban once more. Again, I always like to read the text of the Ramban. The Ramban says, okay, it's on the other side. I'm sorry. Hey, go ahead. Read out loud again.
Right.
So you know what? Look, Shalom, I don't have access to a lot of the Sfarim on the Ramban, and I'm positive that those super commentaries will address your question. But even if they try to, what's the word in English when you say you lower the decibels, to mollify? Is this such a word? Even if they try to mollify this Ramban and modify, but I mean by, there's a word in English which I forget, to lower the decibels on something. Anyway. Yeah. Then even so, the basic principle is that Moshe Rabbeinu really was convinced in his mind that there are those who are more worthy than me. Now, when you look around at people who surround you, Shalom, I'll take you as an example, if you don't mind my putting you on the stand. You know.
No, but
I'm just saying, you have talents, great talents, you know, in many different ways. I've seen some of your writings, and I know what you're capable of. And look around. How many people around you are capable of doing that, of achieving that? How many people around you feel what you feel for Eretz Yisrael, for the people of Israel? How many people know who Rav Kahana was, Al Mashalom? Yeah, how many people? You can count them on one hand. And yet, the Ramban advocates that you look around at other people and say that they're greater than me. How could that be? Come on, am I fooling myself?
I understand that approach. Every person's got their worth. We don't always
right.
see it.
Correct.
But that's a chokhmah. I understand that. No, I understand the principle, and
right.
I think it's great.
That's an unbelievable principle.
Of course, it's a fantastic principle. It's a tikkun olam. But I'm just thinking I'm picking at this one thing.
Right.
It's so extreme.
Right, right. So that we have to study. You know, I didn't get to that.
Okay,
then everybody has these pages.
I would think that if a Kodesh Baruch
Hu, I'm listening.
And said, listen, you're the man. He would say, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling me to be the man, I am the man.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, at the end of the week, he finally capitulates. But, you know, he fights tooth and nail.
Yeah,
it's just an amazing thing that someone as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, would think so. You know?
HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're the man, you're the man.
But the Ramban, in his Igeres to his son, again, let's look at that language. He says, "Chashov belibcha." You should think in your heart. This is what he's telling his son. Ki atah chayev mimenu. That's, even though you're wealthier than him, you're more intellectual than him, you probably have status and so forth and so on. Nevertheless, he is zakai mimcha. He's relatively meritorious, and you relatively are guilty.
One of the things in the Igeret,
because of who chote, who shogit. An amazing language.
The Igeret that I find hard to follow and hard to understand almost, is he tells his son, don't look the person in the eye. Always look to the ground.
Right.
I mean, that's also...
Okay, the Ramban feels that there should be a very profound sense of anova. Rabosai, if you have... I don't know, I don't want to keep you, but if you have two more minutes, the last Yalkut Shimoni on the page, we didn't get to, but just make sure that nobody's missing class here, you know.
I think if you go in the same genesis, you're not Rebbe, would be the Rebbe. You've always said, no, the other guy's better than me. But the Rebbe, so the Rebbe takes a stand and he's the Rebbe.
Right.
Right, sir. So it's,
there's a Rebbe, there's a leader in Israel.
Yeah. So the Libby takes a stand and says, yeah, I'm the guy.
It's the fine mix between knowing who you are and having another.
Right.
That's the mixture. It's an art.
Just one last piece again, if you have the time. If not, go. You know, the Yalkut Shimoni on the Pasuk Vayomer Hashem El Moshe Hein Karvu Yomechalamus. The Yalkut Shimoni, which is the last source on your page, has a description of the process of Moshe's death. It says, "Biosa Shah Korah Kodesh Baruch Hu Neshama Mitoch Gufo." God summons the Neshama of Moshe, and the Neshama of Moshe is not interested in leaving the body of Moshe. Omar Le Biti Me'avi Esrim Shana Katzav Toya Aita. We had set a period of 120 years in which you, the neshama, would be designated to be attached, if you will, to be hosted by the body of Moshe. Achshav higia kitzech. Now came the end of the time. Let's say it's now. It's time to go. Se'ivi al ta'achri. Omer lefan of Ribbono Shalom. Yodas ani shata elokei kol aruchos. Adon kol neshamos. Achayim v'amesim. Mesun v'yadecha. Ata barasani. Ata yitzartani. Ata nasati. Begufo. Nisatitani. Begufo shel Moshe. Beinu me'vesrim shana. Shalom nira bo me'olam. Rima v'tola. V'lo yir bo tzora. Lohoy bo tzoras. Me'olam v'shvil kach. Ani oheves also. I love of Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't want to go. And he wrote so well, says me menu. I don't want to leave his goof. You have it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's there. The achshav yesh goof tahar mi goof shel Moshe. What, are you going to put me into another goof? There's no goof that is more purified than that of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Hashem, in order to calm down the neshama, he has to tell the neshama, "Ani maleh osach l'shmei shemayim elyonim. I'm going to put you right near the kisei hakavod, near the kruvim, near the srafim, near the gedudim." And nevertheless, she, the neshama, turns back to Moshe, to Ribono Shel Olam, and she says, "Amar lefan of Ribono Shel Olam, atzel shchinasach mimorom." Yardu shnei malachim. Hashem had to send down two malachi asharis, and the Alka tells us what their names were, and that's how the process goes on and on until finally the neshama leaves the goof of Moshe Rabbein. And this is called at the end of the Medrash Neshikas Peh. In any event, what you see clearly from this Medrash is how great and how pure the goof of Moshe Rabbeinu is concerned. That even the neshama that comes from the Kisei HaKavod and is brought down into this world, into the physical reality and limited finite world of the goof, nevertheless doesn't want to leave. The neshama refuses to depart Moshe's goof and to climb up on high to the highest level of Shamayim and be located under the Kisei HaKavod and enjoy the Ziv HaShechina. No. I want to stay in the goof of Moshe. U'bishah zos shomedes letzeis migufo shel Moshe b'misas neshika harei mutedes l'noam v'arvus b'misa atzma sher ein l'tayr l'shar klal. Rashi speaks in Bamidbar about what Misas Neshika is with regard to Aaron HaKohen. And Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, after he saw, he witnessed how Aaron died, Miyad Chamad Moshe Lioso Misa, Moshe had a desire to that death. In other words, that death becomes so close to Hashem, it's called Neshika, as if Hashem kisses you. Yishakeni Meshikos Piyo Tiktovim Dodech Miyayin. And yet, despite the greatness, this wonderful experience of Misas Neshika, which Moshe Rabbeinu desired, the Neshama is promised this Neshika, and yet the Neshama doesn't want to leave the goof of Moshe Rabbeinu. Nishmaso shel Moshe Rabbeinu mima'enes. She refuses to receive all this Noam Mufla, this wonderful, glorious experience, because she has a tshuka to remain in the gufo shel Moshe that's greater in her eyes than being tachas kisei HaKavod. And why is that? So the Sam Derech that I quoted to you before says, ki ha-tzadikim merkavo l'shechina. Heim umalosam l'mala mizeh. It's unbelievable. We would think the greatest mala in life, the highest realm, is the realm of the kisei HaKavod, the oneg, the incredible pleasure, the spiritual pleasure of being close to the divine being. No, it's a greater pleasure in being down here, in being a merkava of Shechina, being connected to the goof. You know, we compare this world to the next world. There are many different statements in Chazal that indicate this way and that way. Some seem to indicate that this world is more important than the next world. Some seem to say next world, you know, Yofesh Ha'achas Bolam Haba Mikol Chai Olam Hazeh, one moment of pleasure in the next world outweighs, supersedes all the pleasures combined in this world. But that's not the Hashkafa here. The Hashkafa here, the approach to the philosophical approach is the Neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu wants to stay in this world. This is a greater, a superior experience than being up in the Kisei HaKavod. Why? Because here there's a combination of Guf and Neshama, which is called the Merkava of Shechina, which is a higher level than even the most spiritual divine levels of the Kisei HaKavod. Okay. Speak a drop loud of him.
It's too short. He said, "Lele Yisrael, in front of everybody, he's telling him, Chazak Emas, be strong." Or,
thank you so much.
Or he says to him, "Le Yoshua, Vayomer Elav." Psik. Lele Kol Yisrael, Chazak Emas.
That requires some tremendous strength.
You want to be a nice guy, be a nice guy at home. Be a nav at home. Be calm at home.
So chazak mamash, you're going to have to lead, and it will require strength, and it will require, you know, a tremendous thing.
Be a nav at home. Be a nav.
But here, you're the leader of Klal Yisrael, and that's the role that you have to play. and to appreciate the desire of the neshama to stay and remain in the goof of Moshe Rabbeinu, we'll take a look at Rashi in Shmos Lamed Gimel. Moshe yikach esol v'notolo michutz l'machti. Remember that Moshe had to place his tent chutz l'vaket, and the pasuk says v'hoyah kol mevakesh Hashem yetze el ol moed Hashem michutz l'machne. That Moshe's tent is called the Ol Moed. Says Rashi, v'hoyah kol mevakesh Hashem afilu malachi ashores. Kol mevakesh Hashem, Rashi says, every single one, even malachi ashores, sholim makom shechina. If they asked, where can I find the Shechina? Chavrei Momrim Lehem, they were told, they were pointed to, Arei Hu B'Yol Shel Moshe. That's why the Neshama doesn't want to leave the goof. That's the Makom Shechina. The goof of Moshe equals the Makom Shechina. That's an identity. Hashem had to decree that the Neshama is going to be removed from the goof of Moshe. And that's the gzera of Neshikas, of Mises Neshika. Because the Milo, the Makom of Neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu is so high. It's what you'd call in Yeshaya's terms, Yeshaya Novi says, Ein lo ra'as lo kimzul asecha. And the goof is biyosa b'goof, meaning when the Neshama is in the goof, lo yachla lahasig otzem atayinu gadvekus v'asromus hashashum nivra. Zulaso Yisbarach lo yodea maus scharin shel tzadikim bechlal unishmas Moshe Rabbeinu bifrat. We've seen some amazing things in the Ramban and his perspective, his presentation of Moshe and his godless. And this is something that we really have to study. This the Ramban is the Sefer HaSfarim, almost the Hashkafa of the Torah. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you.